That young man in the gospel has two problems that I can at least identify. The first one is he suffers under this illusion that if you obey the laws, and Christ reiterates the laws for him, and he says, "Oh, I've done those since my youth." This illusion that you can save yourself by following the prescriptions of the law. In other words, being in control, knowing when and how you get there. And so he has this sense of accomplishment. I've done that since my youth. I'm there. And then Jesus tells him that he's not there. That those things don't necessarily get you the kingdom. That you have to drop everything, lose everything, and follow me. And we often suffer under the same illusion. We get to thinking that we have saved ourselves by coming to Sunday Mass, by following the Ten Commandments, by following the laws of the church, and doing all the right things, and doing good works, and this sort of, got it, that's taken care of. And then the bottom falls out. A loved one dies. I get cancer. Somebody else gets sick. And we crash, we fall. And somehow or other, and there's never anything good about those falls, it's always painful, it's always negative, but somehow or other, it's the very fall that saves us. St. Paul was a Pharisee, and he knew the law, and he followed it, and he was a self-righteous Jew who persecuted Christians, even sent some of them to their deaths. And then he meets the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, and he falls. He literally falls to the ground, but emotionally and spiritually he falls. His whole system crashes under him. And he meets Christ. And then he follows Christ. And one of the things that Paul keeps saying over and over again in all of his letters is the law didn't save me and it can't save you. What saves you is your personal relationship with Jesus, with Christ. So when Jesus says to the young man, lose, fall, and once the bottom has fallen out, then I will love you and as I love you now, but you will know it then. And that will be the very thing that redeems you, your failure. It isn't what Paul did right, it was what he did wrong that finally woke him up. And it isn't what goes right in our lives that saves us, it's often what goes wrong in our lives that saves us. And while we don't look forward to any of those falls, they are redemptive. The other problem that the young man has is he's got lots of possessions. And he thinks that those possessions are a blessing from God for being righteous and for doing the right things. And that's an illusion that every generation suffers under. We've all heard that strange kind of work ethic. If you work hard and you're good and you do the right things, then God will love you and you'll be saved. And the fallacy of that is that God loved you before you did those things. The gospel text says Jesus looked at that man and loved him, and then he told him that he had to fall before he could get it right. But he loved him prior to that. And God loved you and me before the world began. We don't have to do anything to get God's attention. We don't have to do anything to deserve or earn God's love. It comes automatically. God cannot not love us. It's just in God's nature. And so we don't do good things so that God will love us. We do good things because God loves us. And so following the commands is not to get salvation, it's because we're saved. And if we really believe we're saved, then how could we not do good things? If we feel the benefits of the kingdom realized already in our lives, and this is true for many of us, you know, people make their own hell on earth, they make their own heaven on earth. And if we make good choices and allow ourselves to be picked up by our falls, and you know, we can experience heaven, the kingdom, now. But we have to understand that that was gift. It wasn't something that we can take credit for. And that's another line of St. Paul's. He says it over and over again. There's nothing for you to take credit for. This was God's blessing. This was God's love. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't take anything away from your joy. Actually, your joy is in the freedom that comes from not having to do anything to get anything. It's already there. Christ suffered and died for us already. While we were still in our sins, he died for us. We don't have to do anything to earn this. But woe to us if we are not grateful. And gratitude spills over onto others. This thing we call Mass, we also have another word for it, Eucharist. And Eucharist is the Greek word for giving thanks. And so one of the reasons we're here every Sunday is we have to learn how to give thanks, to recognize the great gift of salvation that is already ours, and to be grateful for it. And the only way you can really be grateful for something is to know that it's been given to you. Sometimes when people are given gifts, they push them away and say, oh, no, I don't deserve that. Oh, no, please, no. And you learn how to be gracious and you say, even if you don't need it, even if you don't think you deserve it, you say, well, thank you. And there's something in us humans that kind of feels undeserving, unworthy. But we need to learn how to say thank you anyway, to do Eucharist, to be so blown away by the gift of our own salvation that we just can't help but worry about the others. We just can't stop this from overflowing onto others. And so in this Eucharistic prayer we're going to pray in a few minutes, we ask that this sacrifice which has redeemed us might increase the peace and salvation of all the world. Because in many ways, what we're doing here is not praying for our own salvation. We know that's already there. But because it's there, we're worried about the rest of the world.